listening to Banal of America Audio.
Well, it's ironic,
sorry,
though.
I'm laughing on everyone. I have the sense of humor thing today. But
yeah, it seems like the My Lap thing, though, has gotten bigger, especially, you know, in the 8 years since I talked to you. When I first met you, I this My Lap thing was completely foreign to me, but now I'm hearing it a lot more often, which is a good thing that more people
are learning. I mean, back then, Carla Turner and Helmut Lammer. Carla passed away, obviously. Helmut Lammer pulled out of the field for professional reasons to keep his regular career intact. And then, like I said, somewhat by default, I was doing this, talking to other abductees. A few other abductees over the years have come out and been prominent with their own experiences. And even some of those kinds of people have laid low in the field. A lot of people just need to feel like they just kind of want to get on with their life, you know, this time.
Exactly.
And so people come into the field for a while and then kind of drift out. So that's why I said, somewhat, it's not like everyone's going, oh, it's Linda. It's like, I'm like I said, kind of by default, I'm the last person standing right now. Now, granted, there are a lot of abductees sharing these kinds of accounts. A controversial character that I'm talking with and his wife right now, who's having this happen in spades, Stan Romanek. Absolutely.
Boy.
Under huge attack. I mean, this is everything that's happening to him is par for the course with my cases and what happens to people and how this progresses. So that's exactly what's going on with him. He's had it extensively. He's, you know, been picked up, beat up, had the reabduction scenarios, had harassment, surveillance. I mean, you name it, you know.
He's in a bad way right now. Let's put it that way. I'm not sure what's going to come of all that.
Well, I know he's getting help. I know he'll get out of it.
All right.
I'm confident in that. What?
I'm just. You seem very confident. All right. I mean.
I'm confident in that. I think, you know, I don't want to go into detail on the show, but I think it's just absolutely ridiculous.
All right.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Okay.
And I mean, come on, hello, really, seriously. And he had a long history of this stuff going on already. So I think to anyone who knows about my research goes, oh, they just totally get it. He's just being under attack, you know. And that's what I think makes it obvious is when you look at this whole background of the My Lab part of his whole story, the covert ops involvement in this whole story, the interest at high levels in his formulas. When you look at him getting repeatedly beat up, picked up, harassed, surveillance, phone stuff, computer tampering. I mean, it's just this huge history that it was just like at some point there were, you know, if he continued to go against the threats and the warnings, they were going to start doing something more drastic, and they did. And so I think that's exactly what's going on there.
Okay.
But going back to the graph.
Yeah.
And so I think unfortunately, it doesn't justify in it. It just makes sense what has happened to him, totally in keeping with the research. But I feel bad for him, for anyone who has these deepening levels of involvement. Like you were just saying, wow, that's got to be really hard for them. And you're just talking about, I just started to mention when you brought that up, the threats and warnings and low-grade harassment surveillance stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's the beginning. I mean, you're lucky. If it only goes that far with you and you're an abductee and it stops with that, consider yourself very lucky.
Yeah, that's like entry.
Because a lot of people, it gets much heavier, which I'll get into now. So,
yes.
So you can have the agent visit threats, warnings. You can see aliens with the military. You can have an abduction at the hands of humans, as I already said. Sometimes a completely human experience, no aliens present. Sometimes aliens involved to varying degrees. You can have a human abduction with follow-up medical research done on you, follow-up medical things. I'll stop here. I won't stop. I'll just
pause.
In holding position for a minute.
There you go.
Pause. There you go. Exactly. Because I want people to know what these folks are interested in. It's not like, oh, they're out to get abductees or nonsense, you know. They're spending time, energy, and money for very specific reasons. There is obviously a very big human agency involvement with the whole UFO phenomena. That goes back in history. I even have on my little graph here at the very far end of the line, I have this little comment that says ancient aliens, because I believe that this goes back in society with the involvement of the structures of Earth, you know, I guess you could say, the governmental structures, the ruling bodies, having an involvement with ETs going way back. I think there's ample evidence for that. They may have influenced different societies technologically at different times. The belief systems and religions have been influenced by it. I mean, there's ample information in history showing that, uh-huh. of which a lot of that is coming to bear, coming to light, and generally well-known now by popularity of a TV show called Ancient Aliens.
Exactly.
You know, but I'm just saying, I think there's ample evidence for that. And so when people say, oh, you know, well, cover up an involvement, well, yes, you can point to a couple significant crash retrievals in the early 40s and early 50s that were really kicking it off with the modern involvement, the modern governments, you know, the modern intelligence agencies' involvement. But I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest it goes way back, obviously. And the manipulation, manipulation by ETs of the human genome over time. It could be, you know, the infamous missing link kind of idea and a disconnect between early man and then suddenly huge advancements.
Exactly. Sumeria and all that.
Technology took off, you know. And I'm not saying that's an absolute. I just think there is evidence in support of all that.
Yeah, we got to keep the door open to all that stuff.
Yeah. And so, but now, let's go back to the current phase of an interest and involvement. Is now it's like they're, because I believe that they are involved with them, that's not belief. I mean, that's based upon the evidence. We have a number of insiders who've come out, were really clear about their own involvement directly with ETs in, for instance, these underground bases and that kind of thing, and certain programs that they were involved in. And then you have the abductees saying they're seeing this interaction go on. So it's not just the abductees. There's many insiders who've been claiming this for a long time. And have said, well, I worked with an ET and there was one present, or they brought one in to interface with me. And, you know, I mean, that's been going on for a long time now in ufology. Mm. So, getting back though to what they're interested in right now with the abductees is I finally put like this phrase on it because I think it explains it, which is that abductees are being used as another source of information, that they're data mining with the abductees. Because that's well known now to say, oh, well, we're getting, you know, they're data mining for certain types of information. They're data mining the abductees. And they're using the abductees in, actually, I have you to blame for this.
That's right. I was wondering.
When I was on with you 8 years ago, either I said that I was talking about how they are data mining. I wasn't necessarily using that phrase, but I was saying they were getting information from the abductees and getting technical information, getting information about the ETs. And you said, oh, it's like they're reverse engineering via the abductees.
Right.
And which is true. They are, if you think of the technology reverse engineering program, that it's like developing the technology, taking the parts, figuring out how it works and applying it to our own technology, or developing things that mimics or does what alien technology does. And then somewhere along the way, they figured out the abductees were another source for that information, that a lot of abductees have been given technical information. They've been sat at the controls of a craft and flown it. They've navigated. They've been shown the propulsion. They've been shown the weaponry. They've had hands-on operational, you know, of onboard but seemingly computer systems, onboard operational systems, and sometimes the abductees have literally downloaded information into the aliens, and then some abductees get extensive alien writing information, alien math formulas like Stan, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's not the only one to get formulas. Many people have. He does get a little more extensively than a lot of people, but he's not alone. And so that kind of thing, where abductees have a lot of knowledge, and they, at some point, the humans involved with the ETs, with the technology, with the reverse engineering, figured out abductees were just another source of information.
Right, right.
And then, when you said that, though, back then,
mm-hmm.
it got me thinking, and I realized, did you actually say they're reverse engineering via the abductees, which they are, or are they reverse engineering the abductees, which they also are? Because, first off, they're learning how to abduct people really well and how to mimic some of the same methods and abilities. Of
I see what you're saying. Yeah, they're coming up,
and
they're using them in two ways, yeah.
And then they're very interested in the genetics of the abductee. And I believe that a lot of genetic work has gone on with studying the abductee's genetics, the fact that it does run in families. Why is that? What is going on? The whole genetic component of the hybrids. So I think that's another aspect that they could be literally reverse engineering, like building an abductee or building, or more importantly, learning what all that is to train individuals. For instance, abductees are very good about interfacing with the ETs, communicating with them, the telepathy, the psi,
yeah.
I mean PSIs, like the psychic and paranormal aspects of it. And all the insiders and the abductees say the alien technology all runs on this psi or psychic component, on a mental interface direct mind-to-technology component.
Hmm.
That I believe that as the reverse engineer craft, and as there are these development programs to develop the technology, they've realized you've got to have this side component. You
right.
You can't defend yourself from aliens. You can't defend yourself from their weapons. You can't fly or navigate craft. You can't meet them on any kind of playing field without having that component.
It's like the movie
and
District 9,
they
tried to figure out how you had to be an alien to use all the weaponry and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And so as abductees have this ability to some degree, or have been taught it,
hmm.
or have a genetic component to it, or all the above, then certainly they're interested in that. So they're wanting to know, you know, all those aspects. And so in my saying that, yes, they're reverse engineering via the abductee, of course, and they're also reverse engineering the abductees themselves, and learning what makes you an abductee, everything from why are the ETs interested in you, have they changed or altered you, what are you capable of doing, can we learn that, can we train personnel to do that, can we learn from you and turn around and train other personnel?
Right.
You know, so and I can't even say how far all that's gone necessarily. Again, though, to kind of surmise, what they're interested in from the abductees is, like I said, the genetic component. Have you been altered or changed? Do you have the hybrid children? Why is that whole part?
Yeah.
Another thing they're really interested in is, what do you know about the alien agenda or motives? As an abductee, why are the aliens doing this to you? Why are they doing it to others? Why are they here? What is their long-term goal? Kind of just that whole, the alien agenda, what is that?
That's kind of scary that they're trying to get this information out of the abductees, because that suggests that they don't actually know any of that information, which is scary.
Oh, no. I can think they know a lot. I think they could be looking for verification.
Mm.
They are involved in interacting with ETs, but I think that could be very limited. I think it may be a couple of groups, but not all of them.
Okay, I see what you're
saying.
So
if you're an abductee and you have involvement with some of the other groups other than the ones that they're involved with,
they're going to be like, whoa, what's going on with this thing? Yeah, is that
yeah.
under the ET spy? Is that what you call ET spy?
Yeah, yeah. So I'll get back to the graph here in a minute.
Yeah, you don't
I'll
feel
everybody
that,
in.
So, yeah.
But let me just say this: the kind of the four predominant categories that I figured out early on, and it just keeps kind of being proven over and over again, is that genetic component category, and in with that comes a lot of medical things. The agenda and motives category, the psi category, which is do you have psi abilities as an abductee? Has that been enhanced by the aliens? Do you have a genetic component to that? Have you been shown and told things by the aliens, or have they taught you how to do stuff? Are you able to do alien psi, basically? And that whole component of it. And what are your abilities, and how advanced are you, and can they recruit you into their advanced psi programs? You know, so that aspect. And then the fourth category is the technology. What have you been shown and told? What do you know how to do? What have you been downloaded with? And do you have that psi component to being able to actually operate the technology? So there's crossover between these areas. But
yeah,
the technology, the psi, the agenda motives, and the genetics seems to be the things that they're interested in.
Makes the most sense.
So going back to my graph then, so you can have the reabduction with medical research, and then you can have where you are abducted and interrogated. And some of those are just basically threats and warning kind of interrogations, but some of them are asking you what you know about certain technology and all those other things I just covered. So the interrogations, the psi development and testing, where the covert ops humans then are interested in your psi ability. They test and drill you, see what you're capable of doing. Can you only do it when the ETs help you? Can you do it on your own? Can you do it on command? Are you interested in being involved in any programs? That kind of thing. And then military drills. This was reported early on by the abductees that they're put in these kind of drill exercises. It's like seemingly to be used in maybe some kind of ET interface militaristic capacity. And that's changed over time. I'll get a little more into that. A lot of people are put into a role of being an ET liaison, like mediator. For instance, two cases that come to mind.
Yeah, give me some
examples.
These
cases both are known to be abductees going back. And a lot of people don't know that, but one is, for instance, Dan Sherman, who wrote the book Above Black, was an abductee, joined the military, ends up being recruited into a program to interface directly with ETs while sitting at a computer, and he wrote a whole book about that. Another gentleman comes to mind is someone like Dan Burrish, who worked at S4 as an engineer, was put in a capacity to interface directly with ETs. Charles Hall is another individual claimed to have a similar experience, but put in a communication role with ETs. There are many of these insider types who have this kind of story, and a lot of these people turn out, even if they're reserved about talking about it, turn out to also be abductees, that they may have been abductees even prior to that situation.
Hmm.
And then some abductees are then used in a situation where they might be spying on the ETs, per se, where they could be brought into some kind of program, recruited into something to kind of spy on ETs. I know of a number of cases of people that have reported that kind of activity. Even myself, I had one of my covert ops abductions. I was being extensively interrogated about a piece of technology that apparently in a previous experience with these guys, that's something I know I have 9 or 10, but there may even be more experiences because like this suggests there's another one where I had a previous interrogation scene from a previous abduction where I was asked to find or look at a particular kind of technology should I ever see it or have my hands on it. And then I was picked up again and interrogated about that piece of technology and what I learned about it.
Yeah.
So there seems to be, so against my will, without my knowledge, that I was even used in that situation. But some people are used more in intensely and more absolutely than that. And then Another thing that can happen in there is, like I said, the side jobs recruitment, where you're used in a side capacity because of having those abilities. Again, that kind of relates to the, like I said, the
how to harness their psi abilities.
Yeah, how to harness their psi abilities and to be used in psi related programs. Even some of the old military remote viewer guys, the only one who really addresses this, but he's addressing it more and more, and I'm really glad that he is Lynn Buchanan.
Yeah.
Lynn Buchanan's talking about being a previous abductee, having experiences. They knew that, and he was recruited to also interface directly with ETs, and he's now talking about that part of his experience. And I totally applaud him for coming out about, I didn't know that, and all of a sudden start talking about it, and I go, look, there, perfect example.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect example. And then some people actually get recruited. They get far enough into these covert programs that they become like a MyLab perpetrator. You know, you always think of, oh, you know, these horrible people who do these things. And, well, some of them are abductees who've been recruited into that situation. Some of them somewhat reluctantly under a lot of duress, duress or mind control.
Mm-hmm. I guess sort of put me into the mind of these folks in a way, you know, the side jobs recruitment or the MyLab perpetrator, or I guess the ET spy is kind of like they're kind of suggested to look for stuff. But it's like, does it become like a Stockholm syndrome situation where these people are taken by the government so many times that in a way almost it's like, well, they're the only ones that really believe me anyway, so I'm going to work with them because I hate these aliens
sometimes,
doing this to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's in the mind of these folks?
I don't have all the answers, but mm-hmm. in some cases I can say what you just shared would make sense, okay?
Yeah.
There are some people I've talked to who I think that's part of what's going on. Some people are used against their will under great duress, under a lot of mind control and drugging. And like me, in that experience, that was not at my choice, you know?
Yeah.
So, and people get used to these things in that role. Some of them... another thing I didn't really get into is quite often these higher levels of involvement I'm now getting into. Well, okay, it can happen to general abductees too, yes. And people who've seemingly have fairly, you know, normalized and fall under the category of your general abduction kind of account. But then they do get recruited into these deeper programs. Usually those are the people who are done with either a lot of mind control or under great duress. It's done in an abduction scenario. You're thrown into the situation, and you may be doing it under great threat, like do this or we're going to kill you kind of thing. So that does happen. But a lot of these deepening levels tend to happen to abductees who are in the military. Now, meaning, you know, you're an abductee, okay?
And you're in the military.
And you're someone who's joining the military and seemingly totally unrelated. Okay, and then these people who are in the military then get recruited into these programs while in the military, and so that can happen. But not always. I mean, some people have joined the military and yet they get fully recruited, involved in these programs, and it just becomes the next phase of their abduction. I mean, there's a young man, for instance, that I know of, fully recruited into the next thing was to bring up, which was the super soldiers.
Right. That's what
and
got
that's
somebody
just
in
the phrase.
Chat who's very intrigued by that, super
yeah.
soldiers.
Yeah, that's just the phrase of when people's been indoctrinated, recruited into these programs to be involved, whether with their full knowledge acceptance or whether under complete duress, but still, you know, mm-hmm. it's a catch-all phrase. But these individuals, this gentleman was used in really advanced psychic related work and remote viewing work. And he was an alien abductee, gets targeted because he's got these advanced psi abilities, starts getting used in these programs, and it's under his duress, under extreme mind control. He's never joined the military, but he has all these memories of being in uniform and doing stuff, you know, even though he's never seemingly joined in his life. Now, some guys actually get recruited from the military and get recruited into these programs. Again, like I said earlier with Dan Burrish, well, that was more of an engineer than military, but certainly the case of the guy, I just forgot his name again, who wrote Above Black.
Yeah, now I lost it, too.
I'll think of it in a second. But anyways, but his, I just mentioned earlier, so anyone can go back and listen to what I said a little while ago. I just pulled a blank. But he, for instance, in his case, you know, he joined the military with full knowledge and then was asked and had the consciousness of being involved. Now, at times, it was, there were times when maybe it wasn't so much conscious involvement, but for the most part, it was. But then there are the people who join the military, for instance. People can be in the military and have a significant period of missing time and later find out that they were used in one of these operations. I know one gentleman who was used in an ET communication role, and he had a year of seamless missing time. He was in the military. He had a meeting he was being considered for recruitment into a special program, willingly went to a particular meeting with some high-ranking officials, and he said, great, you know, more money, more travel, you know, I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of pull, and a lot of guys in the military want to do the special forces, special ops stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them for nice reasons like, you know, nice reasons like, wow, I can travel more, I'm going to make a little more money, and I get to be involved in something cool and be on some inside track of information. And some of them because they just are real jerks and they can't wait to become a better killer. And, you know. I can't begin to even get into all the reasons why someone would want to be in special forces. I think people do it for the right reasons and for the wrong reasons, probably.
Right.
But in this case, so he went to this meeting. He remembers going to the meeting, he remembers leaving the meeting, and the next thing he knows, he's standing in his parents' kitchen, like at the sink doing dishes, and turns to his family sitting there at a dining table or something and says, how did I get here? And they said, well, you know, we picked you up at the airport. And he's like, when? And they said, like 3 days ago. You called us like the day before and said, I'm going to be flying in. Now, okay, so this is basically, you know, he said, you called us and said you're going to be flying in. And he said, okay. And he said, so we went and picked you up. And they said you've been out of it. You've spent most of the time in bed in the last 3 days. You haven't ate much. You know, you said you weren't feeling well, you know. But here he had even forgotten that they'd picked him up at the airport. He just said, I'm not feeling well. He was out of it. He wanted to sleep all the time. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's standing in the kitchen going, how did I get here? He didn't remember them picking him up at the airport.
Jesus.
He went in the military. They said, what day is it? How long have I been here? And he ended up finding out it was from when he went to that meeting and walked out of it, it was 1 year later. And his family said, they only spoke to him like three times during that period of time. He said he was on a special mission. He was involved in a special operation. He couldn't talk about it, you know, national security, all that. They said, but there were three times that he called home to say, I'm okay. Don't worry. You know, if you mail me, they're giving it to me, but I can only respond by phone call. And only at these times, you know, so they said in that year period, there were like three, maybe four times where he called home and said, I'm okay, everything's okay, I'm still on the mission.
And he has no recollection
until
of that either, right?
Until the time he called and said, tomorrow I'm coming in on this flight, I'm going to be here, can you come pick me up? And the family had to drop everything and go get him.
Weird.
And it was a year later. Now, that was a really extreme case, mm-hmm. but what do you bet, he's not alone. Then there are cases like Niara Isley, who clearly had like 3 months of missing time. I know another case that had like 3 months of missing time. I know another gentleman in the military who had like 3 weeks of missing time. So this kind of thing. Some of these super soldier young kids that I've been talking to, some of them occasionally, it's not unusual for them to suddenly have a week or two of missing time. You know, so this kind of thing. I know it just sounds totally wild, but
it's all right.
Getting more and more reports
wild,
of it. More and more reports of it. It seems to be that these, what I call military on military cases, folks in the military have more of it. It's more in depth. It's, you know, and not always. I mean, again, at any point, they could stop having an interest in you. And you can go years with nothing, but then all of a sudden be picked up and used for something else.
Yeah.
And some people have it constantly. It's just like the alien abduction stuff. Even in alien abduction, some have their keys. They're like, I got picked up last week. I got picked up this week. I'll get picked up next week. Because if you're in that phase when you're having that happen, but some abductees go, I haven't had it happen in 7 years. It hasn't happened since. Maybe it'll never happen again. Maybe it will.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So it's the same way with the, you know, and it can go a year or two. Myself, last abduction was about 3 years ago. Although I had a MyLab one about a year ago, so I hadn't experienced a year ago. My last alien abduction was about 3 years ago. But the last alien abduction before that one was about 3 or 4 years before that. So with me, it goes long periods in between without having anything happen, thank God. But yet in the early 90s, I was having alien abductions like bam, bam, bam. It was all done and taken over from me. I mean, it's like every time I had a period, like boom, you know, right afterwards, boom.
Jesus. How do you function it?
Yeah, I mean, I was having in 1991, 92, I was having a lot of stuff happen, but now not so much. Now it could be maybe my eggs aren't as viable or something. That's quite possible. I'm not in menopause yet, but you know,
is it possible
older,
that because you're
sense.
So prominent in the field that they don't want really to get involved?
Well,
with
I
you?
Think that's why predominantly I don't have a lot of the covert ops stuff.
Yeah,
I think you know there's a certain risk there. My last two covert ops experiences were both group abductions. So it was probably about the fact it was part of the group and less about it being just about me,
yeah.
You know, for sure, because they were both group abductions. And that's the other thing, you know, like in alien abductions, there's there can be a mass abduction where it can be you and two and three other people or you and 20 and or you and 100 people, you know, in an alien abduction. Same with the covert experiences. It can just be you. It can be you in a small group of people, you in a big group of people. That's something that I've learned going on. I'm getting more and more of these kind of mass abduction accounts, even in the covert experiences.
Hmm.
So like I was saying, in that curve, you know, of that development of how it can increase, you know, so you can become a perpetrator in a MyLab experience. I know one gentleman about three accounts of being involved as a perpetrator against his will, not wanting to, regrets it, has horrible feelings about it, but he's thrown into a situation where he's having to instruct abductees and do stuff, and he's very uncomfortable with that. I know another gentleman, a super soldier gentleman, fasten your seatbelts. This guy loves it. I mean, I shouldn't laugh. I mean, it's pretty twisted, but...
Well, what does he do that he loves so much?
Well, the being a MyLab perpetrator.
Oh,
I
my
mean,
God.
No, he fully believes in what he's doing in working for their government to get a handle on this and eventually go to war with the ETs. I mean, he's signed on. And what do you bet? If I know of him and heard him, he's not the only one.
Yeah.
And he's really messed up because the guy doesn't know whether he's coming or going. He's under extreme mind control. His life is in the toilet. I mean, this guy, come on, dude, really?
Yeah.
Is it worth it? Really? I mean, what? You know, but he's fully believes or mind controlled to believe that he's doing the right thing for the right reason.
And that we're mixed up in some kind of ET war.
Or going to be, according to him. You know, I mean, he feels that that's why we got to prepare, you know.
Yeah. What do you
he's
think?
He's a soldier.
What do you
he's
think?
A soldier. He was recruited out of the military.
Yeah.
He believes he's doing the right thing. He believes the abductees are a source of information, and you know, and he won't. He'll heavy handle somebody if he's got it. You know. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. And what do you bet others are like him? You know. So and then you know is the super soldier thing. Some of those folks do believe that they've been involved in an ET war, that is already going on some level off planet, whatever,
yeah.
On other planets. I mean, some of them have these accounts and stories of that kind of thing. So, you know, a lot of this I'm going to claim to say, I don't know. I know what gets reported to me. I know what I'm hearing. I don't know if it's all absolute. I take it all with a grain of salt. You know,
because I know,
start,
I'm sure,
hear
like
multiple reports from different sources, you kind of go, okay, maybe there are some ET wars going on.
Yeah.
Maybe there is time travel stuff, and maybe, you know, and I mean, somebody's perpetrating the MyLab so that that these are people recruited into those programs, it was just kind of a little disconcerting to realize some of them are people with a background of alien abduction, you know?
Yeah.
And then who get recruited. But it all kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, well, like we said earlier, it
kind of
makes sense.
The way it makes sense.
Yeah, if I was if I was abducted, I'd probably turn on the aliens at some point, too. So what's this time travel part of the scale? That sounds pretty intriguing. What's that all?
Well, it's just some of these people also report that they're used in some time travel related stuff. I mean, that's another thing that gets reported and comes up.
Like
and
how?
It's one of those I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to make of that. But some of these people say yes, I'm being recruited to time travel. Some of it seems to be very limited control. It's not like, you know, it's like they send them back to fix something for a day, and then they bring them back. You know, it's not lengthy. Apparently it has dangers and can mess you up or does mess you up or what, you know.
Yeah.
So that seems to be what I'm hearing. But, yes, I do get these reports of
my goodness.
And it's everything from just there's a situation that some of these super soldier types and my labs and covert ops abductees will call jumping, where they're used like to jump from a place to a place or scenario. And so there seems to be, well, there's obviously some kind of technology like, for all intents and purposes, like beam me up Scotty kind of stuff. There is,
yeah.
You know, they're able to relocate somebody. But some of those involve being relocated with a time differential, you know, whether it just be a couple hours forward, a couple hours back, or a day back, a day forward, like, okay, we're going to send you back a day or two and fix this situation or something, you know. So what can I say? I know it sounds far out.
It does sound far out. At this point,
nothing's off the
When you hear from these folks, I mean, how do you discern, you know, whether the person's just delusional?
Well, how much of their other stuff matches? I mean, much of their other stuff. A lot of these folks have a lot of mind control stuff go on and life manipulation. So it's kind of like, what else is going on, you know? And it's usually as things start to add up, it's the history of it going back for them. And again, you know, the things I just mentioned were the far extreme, you know, without a doubt. So you could be anywhere along that graph. I mean, you could be just realizing you're an ET abductee and then any step thereafter. And some people, you know, many ET abductees never even get the harassment surveillance stuff, you know, or they do just a little bit, you know. And a lot of them just stops with that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the ETs then say, wow, I saw military and, I mean, a lot of the abductees say, I saw aliens and military together. Or the military took me, but there were aliens present. You know, so just, it just starts to, it's like the more I hear, it's kind of like I know what the next phase is going to be.
Yeah.
And so I'm not surprised as people's stories develop what might be coming next. And sometimes nothing else ever comes. If they've used you just for what they need or they found you not useful, you know, I'm hearing accounts of stuff from people I've never had happen, you know. I mean,
right,
when people say, oh, you have like 9 or 10 experiences, oh, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm...
You're not doing any time travel.
I'm working with and people that are having stuff happen, I'm low grade. I'm middle of the road.
Yeah.
You know? I know lots of people just harassment surveillance who've never even had the re-abduction. I know people who've had a few re-abductions, maybe not as many as me. I know a lot of people that have had it more than me. I know the super soldiers. I didn't get way, way far out. And sometimes they're not all about soldiers. I'm saying that. Sometimes people are recruited into the engineering, the reverse engineering programs, that part. And they may be communicating with the ETs for that technology development part, and there's never any soldier stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like what we said about ufology, it's the specialization. So.
So that's where my research has gone in 8 years since we've last talked.
It's gotten darker in a way. It's gotten kind of spooky.
Yeah.
Now, where do you see all this headed? I mean, we talked a little bit about the ET war. I mean, first of all, actually, let me jump back and say, as a psychic, have you sort of ever applied your abilities to this whole phenomenon to try and, you know, get a read on it, you know, a perspective that maybe anybody else couldn't have?
Oh, yes and no. Yes, I have an intuitive sense.
I'm not psychic, so I don't know how it works.
I want people to know. In my readings and stuff, that's more like I'm helping people on a one-on-one basis. I'm helping them with their lives, deal with getting their finances together, getting their success together, getting the right job, getting the right relationship, getting out of a bad relationship. So it tends to be about people's lives. And when I do readings, that's what that's about. And then I do mediumship, which is deceased loved ones, specifically, you know, those that have passed, and helping people reconnect with past loved ones, friends or family that have died, mm-hmm. you know. And pets, friends, family, and pets have died. So, and I love being able to do that and provide that connection, and I feel very blessed, and it's opened up a lot for me. It's one of those things that's like exercising a muscle. I'm getting better at it all the time.
Yeah.
And more accuracy. And so that's what that's really about. In general, though, and sometimes I wonder, you know, is this where I really see things going, or is it wishful thinking? And part of me is like, oh, it doesn't matter, you know. and how would I ever really know? But I think the ETs, going back, like I said, going back to the whole ancient astronauts, ancient alien thing, going all the way, coming forward then throughout history, it's about pushing us along, helping us to develop in consciousness, develop in technology. I think there is a desire on their part to bring us up to speed. I think that there it may be eventually about them wanting to have commerce and trade, you know, and it would behoove them, and also to move us along so we're less warring, so that we have a higher consciousness, more compassion. I think there's evidence, again, and I think history shows that that's kind of been their agenda, you know, to move us along, and yet do it somewhat hands off or behind the scenes in a way that we're developing on our own. So you, not to be too cliche and tacky to give a Star Trek reference, but the whole Prime Directive kind of idea.
Right.
I think that explains how it's been going on and their involvement. But yet, periodically coming in and helping out when needed and technology and this and that. Now, at some point, whether it was what was going back a long time ago, their involvement with the government. In the age of modern technology, I think at some point maybe we became, you know, with atomic weapons, maybe we became threatening to a certain degree. And so maybe they kicked it up as far as, you know, what are the crazy humans doing, and we need to put a stop to this. And and there may have been a choice then for them to become more involved with the governments of the world and direct them again from behind the scenes. I think there's been an exchange, a one-sided deal where I think the governments of the world have played along because occasionally they get technology and toys from the deal. So they're like, yeah, we'll play along. Because to quote one insider who was interviewed in a very public onstage, he said it's a never that the technology development by the shadow government, by the covert groups developing ET technology and hardware, that it has become a never-ending source of budget and funding. And it's the goose that laid the golden egg.
Yeah.
And that the cover-up or the policy of non-disclosure is a continued desire for everyone to keep their budgets. Wants to lose the goose that laid the golden egg and their pet projects and their trillion-dollar underground bases and, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, seriously. So I think, and that's what he said, and that it made complete sense to me, that they're running, and
And so it could be that they're doing things with the governments of the world, hoping those governments of the world will make the right choices for their people. At some point, if that really goes off the wrong track, would they step in? I'd like to think they would. Truth is, I don't know. I'm wildly speculating. But my basic psychic sense about this, since you asked, is that the ETs are trying to direct and change things from behind the scenes, working with the structures in an agreement with them to not be really overt about it.
Right. They might just only violate the prime directive if they're overt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe
but I can. Yeah, exactly. But I can tell you this without a doubt. The ETs have the upper hand. They're exceptionally more intelligent. They're more technologically advanced. They run psychic circles around these guys. And so whatever government thinks they're getting anything out of it, they're just being used. They're just being had, you know. Hmm. And where that's ultimately going, I have to admit, I really don't know. I think it's ultimately for good and for development, but I think it's being handled all wrong. Obviously, you know, the whole activities associated with the policy of non-disclosure, everything from, you know, the abuse of the abductees just being a small part of it. I mean, that's huge. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's illegal, immoral, and unconstitutional and criminal, you know.
Yeah.
Egregiously criminal, to say the least. But the I think the holding of the technology, I think that as a people of the planet, we're not progressing in a technological sense. I mean, that we're dependent on
what they give us,
on oil or petroleum, or, you know, is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are technologies available that the government has, uses, develops, that makes all that stuff completely obsolete. And so, And meanwhile, we're damaging and destroying the planet in the meantime. You know, I think that that's just real crime. And so I'm one of those people, while I think it's so ingrained that disclosure is not going to happen overnight because no one wants to lose their funding and their pet project, their disallowed egg for their whole, you know, deal,
mm-hmm.
And no one wants that technology out there because, Obviously, the control and manipulation, and the structure of how governments of the world are now run, it's all very corporate. It's all corporate money. It's all about who's benefiting financially from it.
Yeah,
and
like the government's lost control
behind that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and not just the U.S., I'm saying worldwide.
Exactly.
Know,
yeah, yeah. We're living in a global situation.
Yeah, yeah. And when it's become so much about corporate greed, you know, that's why these technologies aren't seeing the light of day, you know.
Yeah.
Now, at some point, occasionally little doubt can happen because someone deems that they can make money off it or something, you know, it does. And I think there is a policy of slow, deliberate disclosure, very slow, very deliberate, but for all of us in ufology, it's a little too slow.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a shame that technology information that could really help the planet in so many ways, economically, environmentally, health-wise, I mean, there's so many, you know, that it's an absolute, I just wanted to say shame, and I keep stopping myself from saying shame, to say it's the criminal that's not being allowed out. And so I'm one of those people, I'm totally for disclosure, but I think it's going to be a long, slow process. It's not anything coming soon.
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. It's a slow, it's
but I think
for us.
The disclosure movement in ufology, what I see really beneficial about that is it's giving a platform for insiders and people involved in these programs to come out and say their own personal part.
Yeah.
And to have a platform, to have protection, to have the ability to do that, to be able to do it, you know, for instance, before Congress and the Senate and, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying, and the media and having it, you know. So I think the disclosure movement, bringing insiders out, bringing the information out, creating a public space for that discussion and for those individuals to have some safety and security in coming out. And eventually, I think we're going to have a critical mass. We will tip the scales. People constantly, people are becoming aware of the extraterrestrial presence, the reality of UFOs, the significance of alien abduction. And is this, eventually we're going to reach critical mass and people are going to demand the truth. And I think that's a big part of when the insiders come out and do their part. When the public really demands it, when the public really demands the truth and to be brought in on it, and they demand to have access to the technologies, it'll change. And so I think people like me out there doing what I'm doing, I'm about educating people so that they can start making those demands. Obviously, you are, and everything you're doing, and your radio program and everything else, you know, and the writing and everything that you do.
We got to get word out. We got to get people to change their minds about this and care. That's the key part, is getting people to care about it.
And it's so easy for any of us in the field to get frustrated at how long it's taking, you know.
Right.
But at the same time, we got to keep at it, you know. But everyone just needs to go, you know what? It could take another 100 years. I'm still going to work this hard at it. Because it's not about me. It's about all the people I inspire coming after me who are going to make the difference.
Hmm. Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Well, it's a frustrating, you know, you feel bad for the folks who've been around forever, like the Stan Friedmans and stuff, who've spent like 5 decades working on this. It's like they deserve to know the answer by now. It's not fair. And a lot of folks who aren't around anymore even, so it's a...
But Stan needs to get himself on the path for being one of those people that's inspired.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are after him to take it on and do the hard work, and a lot of insiders to come out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And that's why I said we'll reach critical mass. It is increasing all the time. But is it increasing fast enough to happen in your and my life? Maybe. Not right now, but it's exponential all the time. So it's a really hard thing to gauge.
Hmm. You know? Hmm. Absolutely. Now you're going to be heading to Vegas this weekend, huh? For the Super Soldier Summit 3. That's what it says here.
Yeah, it's the... Mind Control and Super Soldier Summit.
There you go.
And it's a conference all about the things I've been talking about. You know, it's really all about, it's a lot of the other aspects of mind control, targeted individuals that have nothing to do with the UFO subject.
Hmm.
And then it has parts that do cross over, like my research. And then the Super Soldiers in that scenario. And Lorian Fenton puts on this conference. I applaud her for really pushing the envelope, taking a lot of slings and arrows, you know, for doing it, and yet, saying, well, this needs to be heard, this needs a voice, this needs attention, and I'm really proud to be part of it. It's a smaller conference, but she has an amazing lineup of people. People can go to the website for it, which is
SuperSoldierSummit.com.
You got it.
Yeah, Super Soldiers.
I hope you put a link on your site
with
my stuff for that.
Of course. Oh, there's going to be links
and
to
then,
all
of course,
you.
And then, of course, if people want to know about my tours, they go to the actual site is SedonaNewAgeStore.com. And SedonaNewAgeStore.com is the website for the Center for the New Age, where I do my tours and readings out of.
Mm-hmm.
And I also do classes. For instance, I do a class in psychokinesis, spoon bending metal with your mind. And so my class information, my reading, and my tours can all be found there. But to go directly to the tour page is just SedonaNewAgeStore.com/UFO-tours.
Now, when you go to some of these other places like Vegas or, if you go to another part of Arizona, do you ever bring the goggles and try and see what you can see, the night vision goggles in these places?
I admit at the Super Soldier Summit, both not necessarily wanting to travel with them, but also because I'm going to be so caught up in the event.
Hmm.
And the last place you want to go viewing is Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, Sedona's a dark sky city. Vegas isn't. Vegas is the extreme opposite of dark sky city.
So you would have to go out. You'd have to go out as far as Area 51. You'd have to go out to Rachel, Nevada to get far enough away from the light. So, yeah, you can go 2 hours outside of Vegas and get far enough away from the light and have great sighting. And but because I'm caught up at the conference, I'm not going to be going, you know, there's nowhere near the conferences at the Gold Coast, you know, right in downtown Vegas.
Right.
And so there's, you know, there's nowhere around there to go view. I would have to go a good hour, if not 2 hours away, to even be able to do that successfully. So we're not going to try to do it there.
There you go.
But if people come to Sedona, I would love to take you out. We are a dark sky city. We have the benefit of altitude, and it is also a UFO hotspot with a long history of sightings. And that combination is just the perfect storm for seeing sightings. And I love doing what I'm doing. You know, I'm... You know, Tim, I'm changing people's paradigms. People go out with me, and they just go, whoa. And they realize we're seeing that all the time. There's always that many craft. And it's really interesting to see people kind of wrap their head around that.
They've
been living a different paradigm.
We need a paradigm shift on this subject in general, because as I said, you got to get the mainstream folks to care. They're too wrapped. They get all kinds of other stuff thrown at them. You know, there's maniacs shooting people. Who has time to worry about UFOs?
Well, that's why I love taking those people out, you know, and having them have the experience. It's a cliche in ufology to say seeing is believing, but it's so true. There's nothing like having your own personal experience.
Hmm.
No one can ever lie to you about it again. You have a completely different understanding once you've had your own sighting. And I love providing that experience to people. That's what's rewarding. When you said, do you ever get tired of it? You know, yeah, I hang sightings all the time. I get kind of blasé, you know, and I try not to, but I find that I do. And my expectations go higher because I'm wanting something more dramatic, not only for my clients, but for me, you know.
Yeah.
But I love people's reactions, and I love seeing what it does to people, and that's the part that I never get tired of.
Hmm. Well, that's good, because hopefully you'll have some big celebration, let's say for your 500th. That might be the best one, then. How
okay.
long do you get to number 500?
Another 200. Well, it depends on how the next year goes, you know.
Yeah. How many do you do, like,
a
week?
A year and a half.
Do you, like, one a week
or a
couple
of weeks? It varies because, we have various tourist seasons here in Sedona.
Right.
So there's times when we have no tourists, and there's times when we have too many tourists and everything in between.
Yeah.
And, we never have too many. Don't get me wrong. It's lovely. But you know, we have times when there's no one here and times when it's very busy. And then we have different weather conditions. And we're coming up, for instance, on our monsoon season. Now, our monsoon season is not like torrential rains all the time. But it does mean every afternoon or a couple afternoons out of every week it can rain. But unfortunately, the clouds come in and it's too cloudy at night. Even though it may not be raining, it's often too cloudy. So
yeah.
I've learned monsoon season, like last year, monsoon season lasted about 10 weeks.
Jeez.
And 10 weeks, I only took out 10 tours.
Oh.
When a couple of weeks ago, I was taking seven nights out of seven nights. I mean, I was doing at least 5 nights out of every week.
Wow.
Right now, too, we have these fires going on here you may have heard about, and we have a lot of smoke. It's nowhere near any of the cities. It's not affecting the hiking or the scenic beauty or anything. Thank God. And they burned it all away from any area that was the major hiking trails and any city areas or populated areas. The fire department here has done a brilliant job in pushing it away from all that.
Hmm.
It's still burning, and there is some smoke, but it's not that bad. But seeing that a lot of people are hearing about this on the news, it made our Memorial Weekend, made a lot of people stay away because they thought, oh, the you know, whole place is on fire or it's all smoking. You can't even go outside. So unfortunately, it had an effect. And yes, we still had a lot of people here this Memorial Weekend, but significantly less than what was projected, you know. But anyway, so in just to answer what you were saying, that these various factors have a factor on my tour. So I would like to say, gee, you know, I do it 5 nights a week, every week, always. No, you know,
no.
I don't. There's periods of where I get that busy, and that's usually for a couple of weeks. The winter, it can be very cold. Again, sometimes it's cloudy. When it's clear during the winter, we have amazing skies. Amazing. So out when it's cold, they just have to really bundle up because it can be like, you know, 35 and
oh,
we're
geez.
Standing outside.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yikes.
And then in the summer, a lot of people stay away because they think, oh, they're going to be hot at Phoenix. No, we're in the high desert. The hottest we ever get here is like 100. Where are you, Tim? What? Where are you?
I'm in Boston.
In California?
So.
Oh, Boston.
I get the worst of it both times.
Yeah, you know, we're probably not that – well, you get heavier snow.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
you get a little more heat. So we're more temperate than you are.
Probably, yeah.
You
that's
know.
What I mean.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I mean,
it's already getting hot out and people are already complaining about the heat. They don't, you know.
Yeah.
6 weeks ago, we were complaining about the
heat. I moved here from Southern California. And in Southern California, there's whole weeks of the summer where weeks on some weeks it's like averaging 100. Same here. You know, and in California, though, the coldest it really gets is like in the 40s, when here we get down in the 30s. But really, it's not that different, you know, than being in Southern California, weather-wise. We're way cooler than Phoenix, you know, way.
Oh, I'm sure,
We're on an average of 20 to 30 degrees cooler than Phoenix on any given day.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got about a minute left here, so let me throw the plugs in one more time. SedonaNewAgeStore.com/Melinda. You'll be able to find all the information you want about Melinda's tours and also her classes as well. And as I said, this weekend she'll be in Las Vegas for the Super Soldier Summit, which you can find out more at supersoldiersummit.com. Sounds like a frightening event. I would like to go to that.
No, it's very interesting. People, please look at the website. It's very interesting, great speakers. It's really, considering it's very small, maybe 100 people in attendance, it's an amazing conference. If people, if you're listening, you're anywhere in the Vegas or surrounded area, please come. It's really, I guarantee you'll have a great time.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting material.
Sounds like a great time. Sounds like a very fascinating place to check out. So, yeah, someone in here says, sounds like a bad place to pick a bar fight. I agree. So you don't want to run into any trouble there at the Super Soldier Summit. But
well, you know, and if you're not that into the conference, go gamble. You know, we're Vegas,
exactly.
baby.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. That's why we, yeah, exactly. Why would you go out on the...
Vegas and mind control. How good is that? I mean, wow.
Well, Melinda, I got to thank you once again for coming on the show. It's been way too long, and it won't be another 8 years, I promise, before we get you back on.
All right.
And I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. Keep up the good work. You know, your stuff's fascinating. It's chilling in a lot of ways. But a lot of folks might bail on this as it got more and more freaky, but you're still carrying the torch. So thank you so much for your, you know, keeping up on this work.
Well, I'm just following where the evidence goes.
There you go. And thanks, of course, to the live listeners as well. And on that note, let me just throw in the plugs, and we'll call it a night here. If you're listening to this on Blog Talk Radio, you can find out more about the show at banalofamerica.com, B-I-N-N-A-L-L of America.com. You can find out more about us on Facebook as well. Just punch in Banal of America. You just listened to a free program here, 2 hours with Melinda Leslie, and we've got a massive archive with 200-plus episodes in there, and it's all free, folks. And how we do that is via donations from the listeners. So if you want to help us out, head on over to Banal of America and click the PayPal button or send us a donation to the P.O. Box. I cannot plug another episode right now. We're still in the planning stages on what's coming next, so just stay tuned to Banal of America and BOA on Facebook. And on that note, my friends, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for making BOA Audio a part of your esoteric audio playlist. Until next time, this is Tim Banal, thanking you for listening and signing off.